Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses are very well known for saying that only 144,000 people make it into heaven. Perhaps they've knocked on your door. I know that they've knocked on mine. They have every street in every neighborhood in every city mapped out. And in fact, if you were to go to a Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, that would be inside. There would be a map of your neighborhood, and perhaps they've knocked on your door. And very often you don't know what to say to these people. And this is not going to be an episode on how to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, although I do it a lot whenever they come by. I do talk to them. Sometimes they stop coming because they say, "Oh man, this guy, we're just not be, we're not, he's not going to be recruited, I don't think." I do give them some real biblical reasons why I'm a Catholic. And I do know a little bit. I'm not an expert by any means on the JWs, but I know enough about their doctrine that I can talk to them. But maybe we'll do a show on that, how to handle those conversations another time. But one doctrine that they're very, very famous for is this concept that only 144,000 people, and they take that as a literal number, get into heaven. Where does that come from? That also comes from Revelation. And it comes from the same chapter we were just talking about, Revelation chapter 7. And here's what it says, starting at verse 4. "And I heard the number of the sealed." Remember, we were talking about those who were sealed. 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 sealed out of the tribe of Judah. 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 of the tribe of Gad. 12,000 of the tribe of Asher. 12,000 of the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. You get the picture, right? It's 12,000 from each tribe. Well, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Michael Barber talks about this in his book, that these are unique, special individuals who are going to make it to heaven, but everybody else, which they think is the great multitude, which is spoken of in Revelation 7, 9, this great multitude of people will live on a sort of terrestrial kingdom on earth. Only the 144,000 get to heaven. Well, there's a big problem with this. Later on in Revelation, it says a great multitude is in heaven. Okay, so who are the 144,000? Well, it's not meant to be taken as a literal number. And where does the 144,000 come from? Well, it's a symbolic number, and it represents the full number of Israelites who will eventually be saved. And where do you get the symbolic number from? 144,000? 12 times 12 times 1,000. 12 tribes of Israel times the 12 apostles, right? Now, when Jesus picked 12 apostles, we've been talking about this a lot on our sister program, The Faith Explained. Be sure to listen to that on the Relevant Radio app. You can also download back episodes of that show and of the Cale Clark Show as well on relevantradio.com through the app and also on Apple Podcasts now. It's a great place to listen to the show. You can also rate and review the shows because it really helps people to find them. So if you do that for us, we'd greatly appreciate that. But we talked a lot about Jesus calling the 12, and really as he's doing that, he's remaking a new Israel. And everybody could see what he was doing. 12 apostles, 12 tribes. So this 144,000, 12 tribes of Israel times 12 apostles in the new Israel times 1,000. Well, where does the 1,000 come from? 1,000 is a symbolic number that symbolizes completeness or totality. All right? So what he's basically saying is that the 12 tribes restored in the church under the 12 apostles will lead to a complete number of Israelites being saved. Now, how does this actually happen? Well, again, Michael Barber sheds a lot of light on this in his book on Revelation, because the lost tribes of Israel, the northern tribes, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, had not been seen in hundreds and hundreds of years when Revelation was written. And here's a little timeline here for you. King David reigned over all the tribes. Oh, about, let's say, 1000 BC, 10 centuries before Christ. The northern tribes, as you'll recall, they broke away. They broke away and formed their own kingdom, which they called the House of Israel. Or it was also called Ephraim. You might have heard that expression or that term. The southern kingdom became known as the house of Judah. Okay, obviously the tribe of Judah was in there. That's where Jerusalem was, in the south. That happened in 930 BC. In 722 BC, a little bit later, the Assyrians invade, and they carry the northern tribes off into exile, and they are scattered to the nations. They're dispersed. Nobody ever hears from them again. They intermarry with the local populations, and for all intents and purposes, they're lost. Let's fast forward a little bit further. Closer to the time of Christ, a little bit closer, 586 BC. The Babylonians carry off the southern tribes into exile. Okay, you might have heard of that Babylonian exile. Well, the southern tribes come back. They come back in 538 BC, and they begin rebuilding. Now, the southern tribes were known as the Judahites, and that became shortened to simply the Jews. So that's where that term comes from, the Jews. It really technically refers to just those southern tribes, but it's come to refer colloquially to all Israelites. Anyways, so what happened to these lost tribes, we don't really know. However, in the New Testament, one of the interesting things is that one of the interesting phrases that comes up time and time again is this new covenant. You know, even the New Testament, the word testament really means covenant. What is this new covenant all about? In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Well, how are you going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel if the northern tribes, which are known as the house of Israel, are all lost? They're all scattered to the winds. How is this going to happen? Well, there needs to be a new exodus, just as the original exodus brought the Israelites out of Egypt into their promised land. There needs to be a new exodus. And just a few days ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration. And in Luke chapter 9, in Luke's account of the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are on the mountain talking with Jesus. And what are they discussing? His exodus, which he is about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The new exodus. This is very interesting. This is what they were all hoping for, that somehow God would bring his people out of the nations to which they've been scattered and bring them back together in a new promised land. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, this is where the Apostle Paul comes in, because the Apostle Paul was sent as an apostle, a preacher to the Jew first and then the Gentile, but he really focused on the Gentile ministry. And in doing so, he might not have even realized this, but he's really, in a sense, preaching to these lost tribes, because wherever he's going in Gentile territory, there may be descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. And so if he can gather them into the community of the Messiah, known as the church, in a sense, he's regathering them into the people of God. And so this is where the promise is fulfilled. This is where the full number of Israelites come in and are going to be saved in the church. And obviously, if you read through the letter of Romans that Paul writes, he talks about all Israel will be saved. Now, it doesn't mean that every single individual person, you know, of Jewish background or Israelite background will be saved, because people still make individual choices to reject God or not. But he's saying, you know, in a symbolic sense, the gospel has to be preached to all nations. One of the reasons is so that these lost tribes, which are scattered among the Gentiles, can come back into God's community, but also so that the other Gentiles can come in too. So it's kind of an interesting thought. And then as we read on in Revelation 7, it does say, "A great multitude which no man can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, were standing before the throne and before the Lamb," and of course the Lamb being Jesus, "clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb.'"